This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and TickSplits.com. TickSplits.com, no service fees. The price you see is the price you pay.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. My name is Aldo Gandhi. I am Mike's wingman, and Mike has a very special guest coming right up. He is Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000. We're going to talk Chicago Cubs, a little White Sox, and some Major League Baseball. And after the interview, we'll talk with Mike about Robbie Gould. What's going on with the former place kicker for the Chicago Bears? Is there a chance he's coming to Chicago? There's new news on that. But right now, let's welcome in the star of the show, Mike North. How are you, my friend?
Good, Aldo, already. I mean, we know we put it out on Twitter. We're going to have Jesse on tonight. The very first question I see on Twitter is, what about a White Sox scarf? You know, some 60-year-old guy that sweat his pants, worried about when the White Sox guest is on. This is only our third damn show, for God's sake, on Monday night. You go, you know you got our Friday show, the Mike North Advantage, where we were 1-1 this week with our picks, 5-1 overall. But you know what, Aldo, this is no different. The open that I said is the same thing I probably said at one point to Jesse back in the day. I'm pleased to have on a success story, a guy that basically whose career I tried to ruin two or three times. basically, he got in trouble with me. We hung out. We had the times of our lives. For we had a great run together. Nothing makes me prouder than when me and B are at home and I see this guy on TV, on ESPN 1000. He's going to be in the movie. There's going to be a character of Jesse in the Mike North movie, which is going to, by the way, I'm talking to the screenwriters tomorrow. Again, it's been a great thing. You know me, Jesse. I'm pushing things along. And I'll introduce him formally. Ladies and gentlemen, from ESPN 1000, my former producer, Dan's former producer, Jiggets, for the Monsters, Jesse Rogers. What's up, brother?
Oh my God! This is an honor to be with you, Mikey. The best. Happy. I'm happy to be with you. What's going on?
How many belts have you had? How much wine have you had? You're out in Arizona right now.
Couple glasses of vino. You know, it's after a long day. First day after that Tom Ricketts press conference. You'd want to drink too, Mike. Trust me. You'd go back to drinking after listening to all that stuff today. They ran out of money. The Cubs ran out of money. They're worth $3 billion. But they have nothing in the bank, apparently. They can't spend anything.
Well, I think the whole point is that I never thought I'd hear them run. I understand that successful businesses have budgets. I get all that. I give him credit for being honest. I also think he thinks his team, he's invested a ton, and he's gotten a very minimum return from guys like Darvish, Chatwood. I know there's been some decent pickups. But you know what? I think lately he hasn't been happy with the way that the money was spent. I think he feels he's got a good enough team. And I don't think there's anything wrong with adding on maybe in July.
I don't disagree with anything you said, though, Mike. But you've been around a long time. The one thing somehow baseball and especially ownership has done has sort of convinced people or gotten people to forget that there's no salary cap in baseball. You know what I mean? How we used to hear that, oh, baseball's great. They're the only sport without a salary cap. The George Steinbrenner Yankees are going to battle and outbid everyone else. It's going to be a great battle for this player or that player. We never hear that anymore. In fact, they spend more in the other sports, it feels like, than in baseball. Now, I know some of these deals, these are, 10 years, $30 million, $300 million. It's crazy. I get that. But don't you agree with me? They have pulled the wool over our eyes a little bit because we all act like there's a salary cap. There's no cap. guys should be bidding like crazy for some of the best players. So that's
but who are you
going to
be bidding for? Because I wouldn't bid for Bryce Harper. I heard people wanting $400 million last year. I didn't think last year's season was worth a damn. I don't think he's worth $300
right.
million. I'm sure some sucker will sign him. It's the years. It's Scott Boras and guys taking these guys to the cleaners. As a guy that's been on both ends, I think you're allowed to adjust his ownership. How many times are they going to be made fools of? How many times are they going to be taken to the cleaners? How many times do you ever hear that baseball players who sign 10-year deals for $200 million that don't work out want to give it back after 6 years? No, there's nothing like that
never,
either.
Yeah, they never give
you know
it back. Poole still didn't look good. I will say this.
No.
I agree with you in one respect. Harper and Machado are not the best players in the league. They're just the best players available this year. If this was Mike Trout, I think we probably would see a little bit of a bidding war. But there's only one Mike Trout. So, all I could say is you can only bid on the guys available. I think we're both in agreement. Yeah, 10 years, $300 million, you're never going to get the worth. But these guys do deserve, in general, the payrolls should be higher. That's all I'm saying. Not individual players, but the payrolls should be higher because the owners are making a ton. So I don't know how baseball screwed this up, the players, where the revenues don't match the increase in payroll, or I should say the payroll doesn't match the increase in revenue. It's weird, but it is what it is, Mike. And here, let's go.
I'd like you to look at entertainment salaries, radio salaries for hosts now compared to what we made back in the old days. Look at what they're making now. They're making less. Of course, the radio stations are making less in conjunction, but they're still making a ton of money. I think that's the way it is with all corporations. I don't mind baseball doing this once. I think it's good to adjust to the market. But I'm with whatever they can get, you grab it. But I don't think Bryce Harper's worth it. I mean, I remember guys asking, saying last year, 400. I don't want him on my team anyway. All of a sudden, Machado, the guy that didn't hustle, the guy they can't win with, the guy that's a cheap shot artist, Harper, the guy that gets in fight with Max Scherzer, the guy that gets in fight with Mats Williams, the guy that hit 236 on the road. All of a sudden, they're supposed to drop $300 million. And when they do, Jesse, Harper still turned down that money. And Justin Verlander and others got a beating on Twitter for saying, why isn't somebody offering $300 million? Harper was offered $300 million by the Nationals, and he turned it down.
Yeah, the players are never going to win that argument if they go public. And here's the thing, Mike. You know how the only chance they could win it is if they call out their own owners. Hey, Tom Ricketts is making $100 million when I'm making $15. Hey, this team's making $1 billion, but they won't do it. They won't call out their own owners. Because all hell would break loose. It'd be chaos. And that's the one thing I will be critical of the players. If you're going to complain about this whole thing, then you better complain about your own team as well, not just everyone else not spending. That includes your own team. When Chris Bryant complains that nobody wants Bryce Harper at that money, well, he should be complaining about his own team. So that would be interesting.
Well, you know what I always say, though, Jess? You know me. I would always call it out. But those same people that are asking Major League players to call out their owners – Our TV and radio people who don't have the balls to negotiate a deal on their own have to have agents and would never say nothing about the pay cuts and stuff that their people get. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's always easy to question people until it's time for you to question. But you know what? I don't want to talk about that. We got plenty of more stuff to talk about. Let's talk about this Ricketts thing. I like Tom Ricketts, first of all. I think the guy's a great owner. I think he's spending a ton of dough. I think the reason he has no money is he's redoing a whole neighborhood. He's building Disneyland over there. I'm afraid the roller coaster is going to come out of the scoreboard one of these days. But I got to tell you, he's an honest guy. He sat in the bleachers. I like what he said about Tom Tunney today. I'm not the biggest Tom Tunney fan. Apparently there's disagreements with the alderman. They started talking about politics with him. You know, a lot of these stations that are left wing were asking them, well, what about Sinclair? You know, well, you know what? You talk politics on the air, too. So that was hypocritical on that being itself. But what did you think of the press conference? And we'll talk about the Muslim thing afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's just kind of funny when he says we've run out of money. Now, I know there's budgets, like you said. So that cracked everyone up. I mean, he could have said it in a different way, but I mean, literally, Dion Miller asked him, why didn't you put more money into the on-field product? And he laughed and said, we ran out of money. I mean, come on. So that was silly. If he wants to say it's not in our budget, that's a little bit better, but don't say you ran out of money. It just sounds stupid.
Just
so that part,
right. That's right.
Yeah, for appearances. But I don't, Mike, I don't disagree that he, you know, anybody calling him a cheap owner is wrong. You could say he was cheap in this moment or that moment where he didn't spend. You can't call him a cheap owner. They've had a top five payroll. It is enough money to win. He gave $126 million for Darvish. So I didn't love that he said we ran out of money, but all that other stuff is fine. Now, the Muslims, you know, the stuff he said about his dad, you know, it's kind of interesting. I will tell you, you know my son, Nate. My son, he's 16, so he's old enough to know. He saw this stuff online. He's like, what's going on? Why are the Cubs? He basically said, why are the Cubs racist? And I'm like, it's not that simple. First of all, it's the guy's own. So, like, I have to explain to my son, you know, because of all this. So, you know, look, he could say that's not who his dad is, Mike. But if those emails are his, that is who his dad is. Let's, I have no problem. If he, just be honest. We don't want to spend the money. Be honest there. My dad obviously has these views. It has nothing to do with me. But to say that's not my dad, I'm not saying he has to trash his dad, Mike. But he did his best, I guess. You know, it reminds me of Russell. They both kind of squirmed their way through it. They survived it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Russell could have been a lot worse on Friday. Tom could have been a lot worse today. I'm not buying that that's not his dad. That's his dad. My mother's just fine. It doesn't mean it's him. Doesn't mean it's the Cubs. That's his dad, and I'm going to
buy
that.
Well, here, it's so predictable, though. I mean, I knew this was coming, that they're going to get involved mm-hmm. with a Muslim group now that's going to help them teach about, you know, not homophobia and Islamic and all this other stuff. So wait a minute. There's stuff on Twitter right now. This guy says, Mike, I get the whole Ricketts thing, but please, they did, or some of them tried to blow our entire country up. I do not even know what the Ricketts father said, but is this going a little overboard? I'm not saying that this guy's right, but now there are people that are on Twitter saying, well, wait, how about the Muslims' treatment on gays and everything else in that area? See, this opens a can of worms when you start showing any type of quick, and I think this was a quick hitch, Jess. Oh, we better get something for Muslim with the Cubs now. Wait a minute. We're not the ones with the – it makes them sound like we're the fans are the ones with the problem. It's his father that's the guy that's
that,
got
oh,
the
that's,
problem,
Mike, that's,
not Cub
that's
fans.
Exactly – let me tell – jump in. You're so right. That's why the stuff with Russell, at least Russell's getting counseling and therapy. You're so right. Why isn't Joe Ricketts meeting with the Muslim groups? You know, but I don't disagree with you. I mean, look, the timing of this thing, they put out a press release at like 6 in the morning that they're meeting with Muslim groups, and then Tom meets the media 3 hours later, so he's able to say, look at this press release. This is what we're doing. But, you know, I don't disagree with you. It's Joe Ricketts that should be, you know, going through counseling and therapy, but whatever. It's going to go in the past. It's going to fade because he isn't associated with the team, but it's just vile. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. The N-word in jokes and stuff like that. I have to explain that to my son. Whatever. We'll move on. It's not the end of the world. They're not going to sell the team. But it is worth noting that the father is, you know, likes these
it's
kind
the
of jokes.
Father.
And,
I mean, look at.
I know.
Look, when I saw that, I got angered. I've been going to Cub games and vending there since I was a kid. And when you go into that ballpark, there's no religion. You're a Cub fan, or you're for the opposition,
right,
or you're rooting for certain players. You're having a good time at the game. The father, for whatever reason, puts stuff in emails. He's probably the way that you just described it. But then they go and they're bringing in a group, and it's like, well, we're going to learn how to handle tolerance and everything else. Wait a minute. If I'm a Cub fan today, I'm going, wait, I've never had a racist bone in my body, and you're going to counsel us when the owner's father, and he's really the owner, without him, they don't have the money, when the owner... Right. Is the one with the problem? I wish somebody would have said that's out of line. Now you can do what you want as far as hiring them. It's so predictable, Jesse. It's what really, you know what it is? It's what racists do when they want to cover up that they go and get the group they're oppressing or that they're talking about, and they bring them into the organization.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, it's really in some ways for show. Now maybe some good will come of it. I don't know what it is exactly that's going to come of it. But maybe some good. I don't know. But I don't disagree. Look at the timing of the press release and then the press conference. But it is what it is. Like I said, I think it's going to fade in the background unless there's another email drop, you know, where they hack emails. And I don't think that's right either, hacking into private emails. I mean, you and I, Jesus, if someone hacked into our stuff in the back in the day, We neither one
if
of us.
If there were camera phones, I'd be in jail. I mean, my God, I
both
can't
of us.
Believe it. You know what? So, Let's talk about that.
But Mike, you and I never told dirty jokes like with the N-word and stuff like that. So that's a whole other level. So
well, no, I mean, look at we had Hug a Black Day. I think to this day we're still stunned how that was tried to turn around on me as being a racist
but last
and everything
time I checked,
else.
You were trying to, but last time I checked, you were trying to do something positive. I mean, there's nothing positive about those N-words.
Well,
jokes.
The media twisted it because it was a popular thing. Jesse Jackson didn't like it at the time because I was asking whites and blacks and people of all denominations to hug each other. And he didn't like it. Everybody got on my ass about it. Now I see now I see politicians are in blackface. They were supposed to be out a week ago. Now I hear they might be running for president. So I don't know which way I'm going right now. I mean, it's gotten completely out of hand. We went through what Trump goes through and what other politicians are going through, just not just the president. But we went through that in the 90s. We went through that in the 90s. Called every name in the book by the mainstream media. And you would agree, there's a swamp in the media. Always has been.
Yeah, I mean, the here's the problem. Nobody looks at intent. Like when you did your stuff, you never intended bad things. You always want to do something positive. I don't see anything positive out of a joke with the N-word. I don't see anything positive by wearing blackface. You know that you got to look at intent. What was the intent of what someone's trying to do, even if it comes across wrong? Like Jesse Jackson, they've taken it wrong, but your intent was something positive. Anyway, we're going off on all sorts of tangents.
We became friends anyway.
Here.
We became friends anyway, Jesse and I. As you know, we went out with them and everything else. We had the times of our. So once we got to know each other, he understood exactly what I was coming from. But the stuff never ended because the press was biased towards the score. You knew that when you started working there. I mean, we were breaking all the stories. You were going out and getting the top guests. You were thrown off buses. You were thrown off planes. We went to the top places. We hung out with the top people. I was thinking of Jordan on his 56th birthday yesterday. I don't think, if I was going to cover sports like and be somewhat relevant, I was there at the right time. We were there at the right time when Jordan was in his heyday.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Jordan and Ditka in the heyday, it was unbelievable. Yeah. It was unbelievable. And the thing about it is, Mike, back when we started in sports radio, nobody understood it, really. I always tell this Steve Stone story, right? Steve Stone hated us at first. Then he realized if he comes on, he can say whatever he wants. He's not confined to 2 minutes on TV or a broadcast where, Reinsdorf or the Tribune Company is going to come down on him. Sports radio, he can talk forever and go on tangents, do whatever you want, say whatever you want, be critical. People didn't understand that at first. So once they started to understand us, even people – remember when Frank Thomas used to call in? I mean, he'd call in on his own. And then Steve Stone used to call in because they wanted to get
Steve
their opinion
Stone, I got some sad news. Steve's mad at me again, but let's not – we don't have to delve into it.
Is it an odd or even year? Because he's mad at you in the odd years. Yeah, it's an odd year.
Yeah. Well, I basically said, that he used to be – I didn't question his honesty. I love Steve. Steve told me – and Steve and I have a good relationship, but he pissed me off by – yeah, I said something like, you used to be more honest. He goes, well, how's your career going? I go, I don't have to keep working. And my career, I made it to the top. And basically, you wanted to be a general manager. And, he'd leave Miller Steakhouse and all the LaRusa and Vec and all of them would roll their eyes. So,
well, the bottom line is, if you're a broadcaster, you are going to be open to some criticism. It's just like a ball player. You have a great
job.
Right. And some people aren't going to love it. And you have to take some criticism. And in exchange for that, you get paid a good salary and you get to broadcast.
And it's
baseball.
Fine for him to criticize me, but you know what? Here's my deal. I like Steve. The reason I want – here, I've never really heard say the White Sox rebuild's going to work? Steve Stone. And I know
Steve
Stone knows the baseball.
Yeah, he's usually honest. Yeah.
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 But Steve Stone, if you say – if he went on the air and he sees Kopech going down and he sees – they want Machado when Anderson doesn't want to even move. They basically Machado now. They're thinking of moving to third. It's a mess. They won 62 games. They got no pitching. It's a mess. I knew it was going to happen when they traded Sale. But you don't hear Steve won't be able to say, I don't think this is going to work. You can't. In the old days, you might be able to do it. But you know what? He was always very honest. So I'm anxious to see how he handles this year. Because I don't think it's going to be everything everybody's talking about. I mean, I can't believe Moncada. That experiment's over, Jesse, wouldn't you say? He was their second baseman of the future. Then they draft the second baseman. Now they move him to third. The guy strikes out 150 times a year. I mean, I don't know. Am I missing something here?
Man, if that sale trade turns out to be a dud, then they're in big trouble. I mean, that's a generational player.
It's a dud already. Sale's going to get an extension, and he went to the World Series. That thing's done.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's just amazing to me that the propaganda that goes on in this town. I will give you credit. The other day I heard Pedro Gomez, or saw Pedro Gomez's report.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about,
Okay, but you came on the air right after Pedro Gomez nationally, and you said straight out, I think Pedro's being a little negative. And I got to be honest with you. I see where the Cubs, a lot of people are panning the Cubs, some picking up for last place. Where did this all come from? This team is going to have a change of attitude. I think they're hungry. I think they're starting to post bulletin board material. I'm one of the people that loves them, and I think Milwaukee is going to have a sophomore jinx. What's your take?
It's going to be one of my favorite seasons because I really am not positive. Look, I'm a Joe Maddon guy, but I do not think he had his best year last year. So he needs to rebound, and I think he is up for the challenge. But I have no idea if Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez are going to hit again. I mean, one of them hit, Baez hit, Rizzo hit a little bit. Bryant was there. I mean, I hope so. I think so, but I don't know for sure. That offense was so broke at the end of last year, Mike. But look, they're going to be in the mix. Let's face it. Let's start with that. 89, 90, whatever it is. Could they get to 95, 96? Yes. Could Milwaukee be 82, 83? Yes. Could one of the other teams jump up? Yes. This season is one of the best, I think, of this decade because we don't know for sure. 16, we pretty much knew. 17, you kind of knew. 18 was upside down a little bit. I think this year, who knows? I mean, the beauty of the Central, Mike, is nobody's rebuilding. I give credit to the Reds and the Pirates. They're not rebuilding, even though they do have less talent than maybe the Cubs and the Brewers. One of those teams going to jump up and make a move, and someone's probably going to get off to a bad start. You know, things we can't predict. But I agree with you. They're going to be right there. And I don't think Pedro was himself necessarily being negative, but he was pointing out all the negatives associated with this team. And I think the Cubs think, okay, once we get past Russell, once we get past this Ricketts thing, you know, we just started spring training. We have a lot of momentum to build here, and we're going to forget about all those negative things. As long as they get it out of the way, if like something else jumps up April 1st, another, you know, terrible, I don't know, pick something, a scandal, that's a different story. But I think it's early enough that they can get past the stuff. And I agree with you. There's a chip on their shoulder. There's no doubt. Bryant, Rizzo, the hitters that sucked last year, and let's just call it what it is, they have a chip on their shoulder.
And Rizzo, I mean, you know what? I thought Theo Epstein talking about a change of emotion, if you will, the way you lead. I don't think they liked the Cub team laughing on the dugout when it was 1-1 in a playoff game last year. I never saw the Yankees do that. The old Yankees are teams of you don't see New England in a tie ball game, the Patriots, laughing on the bench. I saw too much clowning around. I think Madden's been – I think it's a huge year for Madden. I like Joe Madden. I think if they lose him, they don't find anybody better, and he'll be scoffed up in 5 minutes. So I'm rooting for him to have a good year. I think he's got a big, big weight on his shoulder because a lot of people still blame him for almost blowing the World Series. Forget about that. He got him there, and he's the only manager to do it. And you know what? Like you said, last year wasn't their best year, none of them. So I think they got to prove to people, you know what, I'm happy for Anthony Rizzo. I said this last week. Anthony Rizzo, yeah, I love what he does for the kids. I love what he does for charity. I gave the 120 charity. I still give the charity. We all love it. But hit 300 and give the charity. Because, you know why? Because every time he's in a slump, I understand this. I understand. And a lot of athletes give the charity, you never hear about it. He drops 10 bucks, you hear about it. So what I'm saying is, I'm just saying, I love what he does. I love what he does, but I want to see him hit because a lot of people leave him alone because of such a good, kind-hearted man that he really is. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Well, I agree if he had had like a bad season. He really hasn't had a bad season, though, in a while. I mean, in 13, he had a bad one. He's been
But you're not really holding him accountable. He could have been better last year, right?
No, he could have been better, especially early on. He had a terrible April. He always has bad Aprils. But you're not wrong. He can be better. And the thing is,
what did
I've
he
never
get for
heard,
average last year? What did he get for average?
He was so bad early. Yeah, something like that. I think that was right around there. I think you're right. So,
he can
be better. But I will tell you this. Where he can be better is being a leader. I mean, that's the thing. Theo and Jed sort of called out the leadership of this team. And, I mean, who's the leader on this team? It's Anthony Rizzo. And I heard from some agents and stuff that were like, whoa, I've never heard Theo talk like this before. So I think he wants his young players like Rizzo to man up a little. Not Rizzo in particular, the whole group to man up a little.
And
take some accountability. So, but, I mean, Rizzo's had some really
good 25 home runs, Jesse. That's nothing in today's game for a power
hitter. No, I guess you're right. I mean, you know what?
He had 283. Look at if Bryce Harper hits 283, he signed already. See, people think batting average doesn't mean anything. If Bryce Harper hit 300 last year with the other numbers, he signed already. He had 250.
But, you know, Rizzo was a 32 home run guy every single year. So you're right. He was a little down last year, but he had such a bad start. That guy's got to have a good April. If he has a good April, he could put this team on his back. But it hasn't happened in a while. He just has bad starts.
I like the kid. I really do. I like the whole team. Bryant's got to prove a lot. He's got to jump back. I think Bryant, I mean, I saw him on TV about, during the Cub game. He looks anemic. I mean, I don't think he goes to the weight room. Have you seen the guy? Does he lift weights, or is he one of those guys like Mark Grace used to be? Weights don't mean nothing, and Mark Grace was right. Weights didn't mean nothing.
Chris
Bryant's viewed differently.
But Mark Grace didn't hit home runs. It's finally changed this offseason. He looks really good, upper body strength. He worked his butt off to strengthen the shoulder, and he couldn't swing for a while. So what did he do? He conditioned himself. He looks better than he's ever looked, and that's saying something because he was a pretty good athlete. But when you get hurt, you gotta build up, you know, your stamina a little bit, your strength. So I agree with you. I think it's a big year for both those. Brizzo, both of those guys, Rizzo and Bryant, big year for both of them. They look in really good shape. Doesn't mean you're going to hit the ball, but it's a good start.
Well, you know what's funny about those two guys is that they never hit together. You know, when you had Matthews and Aaron on the Braves, when you had Maris and Mantle, when you had the 3-4 hitters, when you had McCovey and Mays, those guys would go like 5-for-9 in a game. They'd go like, they'd hit two home runs. You'll see if Bryant has a 3-for-4 day, Rizzo goes 1-for-5. If Bryant has an 0-for-3 day, Rizzo goes 4-for-4. They very rarely, how many times can you remember those two having huge days together? I can't.
No, you're right. I think you're right. That's what everyone's kind of waiting for. You know, when one's hot, the other's kind of cold. The other's hot, the other's cold. No, I agree with you. It hasn't been consistent back-to-back just bashing, you know. Canseco and McGuire back in the day. So it'd be great. I mean, they're two really good players. It'd be great if they both had huge years together. Think about that. If they both could have huge years together, how huge would this season be for the Cubs on offense?
They were ahead of schedule in 2016. I think Mann's going to have a strong year. Rizzo's going to have a strong year. Bryant, I think they're going to have – but here, last year for Rizzo, for instance, played in only four less games than 2017. And the year before, in 2017, he scored 99 runs. Last year, 74. Okay? 32 doubles the year before last, 29 this past year. 3 triples the year before, 1 this year. 32 homers, 25 last year. 109 RBIs, 1. So every department, when he's in his prime, dropped. So I think he's got a lot of weight on his shoulders, there's no doubt. But I think he's a good guy of character. I'm not going to say I need to see more intensity because he's one of the best players in baseball. He's due for a rebound year, no doubt about it.
No, I think the best players in the league have a good 6 months, not 5. And that doesn't mean you're hitting every day for a month. I mean, you're not going to be, Ted Williams, but you can't hit 170 in April and expect to have MVP numbers. You know, and he knows that. He absolutely knows that. He laments. He bothers him all the time. But he has those 200 Aprils. You got to be able to survive a little bit, and then when you get your stride, you go nuts. So. We'll see. I agree with you. I think that month off, if you're going to lose, Mike, you may as well lose in the first game of the playoffs because you get that whole month off and it can make a difference. But, Cubs are used to going to the NLCS. That didn't happen last year. So there's a lot. You said weight on their shoulders. There's a lot of weight going on, Theo Epstein, all the, you know, is Darvish going to work out finally? Is Chatwood going to fix himself? I mean, what if Darvish was a 6-year disaster? That would, you know, it'd be crazy, right? So you got to assume he's going to rebound and have some sort of a better year than last year, because it can't be worse.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you can't assume anything with him, because it's always been the worst when you think of him. I think it's going to be a disastrous contract. I'm not sure about Chatwood. These are the reasons. The deals that work, Ricketts doesn't mind spending money if deals work. It's the deals, I think, that don't work.
Yeah.
That look absolutely ridiculous on surface. I mean, I just hope Darvish doesn't pay. Darvish seems like Cutler to me. Only Cutler had more guts. I think he was tougher, and he's a football player, which is a whole different ball game. But I think we got that type of contract. As far as the rest of the division goes, I'm not that worried about it. But the St. Louis thing with Bryant and Molina, seems like Bryant's still a little worried, even though he says he was misquoted and all this BS. I think he's learned his lesson. You know, he's worrying about Harper's contract, mouthing off about St. Louis being a boring city. You know what? And in the meantime, I just want him to be able to hit some home runs.
Oh, I think him and Rizzo can't believe Molina took it so seriously. So he's not walking it back. Now, he's not doubling down on it either. But, you know, he wasn't taken so much out of context. He just thinks it was a comedy show, and you're trying to make people laugh, and calling St. Louis boring made the audience laugh. But you got to pay the consequences, I guess.
All right, we're with my buddy Aldo Gandia. Aldo, come on, buddy, because he's got some chat board questions, a couple questions for you. Go ahead, my friend.
Jesse and Mike, entertaining stuff, but we've got a lot of White Sox fans in the chat room. And so, Jesse, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know this is a difficult question, particularly given you don't have rosters in front of you probably. But would like to know if you could manufacture a trade between the Cubs and the White Sox. Could you do that for us? And if not, could you at least maybe point out a couple of Chicago Cubs players who might be available for trade in spring training before the regular season starts, so that Sox fans could maybe ponder those guys in Sox colors?
I'll give you a Cubs-Sox trade.
Cool.
Eloy Jimenez for Jose Quintana.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you know, they really hated, they've always hated the deal between the teams. They really have, you know.
Well, the Cubs fans don't like it, that's for sure. They absolutely don't like that deal. Now, I'll defend it a little bit. Quintana has helped you make the playoffs 2 years in a row, while Eloy hasn't taken a swing yet. So I'll defend it a little bit, but once Eloy gets up and starts raking, everyone's going to be like, oh, boy, what a bad trade.
God is raking. I got to see it with my own eyes. I'm tired of hearing everybody tell me how every White Sox prospect who was somebody else's prospect.
I agree 100%. And I saw Eloy with the Cubs. I think he looks like a stud, but I agree with you. Until they start doing something in the majors, please, just slow down. Slow down a little bit. But I will tell you, if the Cubs and Sox could make a trade now, the Cubs could use some young pitching. That's one reason some people are predicting bad things for the Cubs. They have an older staff, and they don't have anybody ready right now to replace them. It's a few guys in the minors. So if the Sox want to, you know, give the Cubs Kopech back, they could rehab him for a year. Not back, but let's do a trade for Kopech.
Right.
The Cubs don't need him this year. They need him in a year. So how about Ian Happ for Kopech? Is that good enough? No. You probably need more, right?
Yeah, it's good enough to me. Look, at every White Sox prospect sucks right now. I'm just telling the truth. I mean, you know, even, you know, they gave Addison, they gave that kid, our shortstop, $20 million. You know, you got Addison Russell. The two shortstops are the guys that are really got to get better and better. Aldo, you got something else?
Yeah. What do you think about the White Sox kind of following the Cubs' lead with the rebuilding? Do you think that there's any promise there? I hear what Mike is saying in terms of the prospects not looking good, but I'm interested in Jesse's opinion.
Well, first of all, I don't think the Sox would have done it if not for the Cubs doing
right.
it. Absolutely. That's not a coincidence that one team did it and then the other team in town did it. It just, I think they copycatted it because it worked and because the Cubs proved you could do it in a big market, even though they were charging huge prices while they were losing. I'm with Mike that you can't just assume it's going to work everywhere. And the Sox have yet to make their big signing like the Cubs did with Lester. I don't think they're getting Machado or Harper. I have that, you know, about 3 weeks ago, somebody told me that he's kind of using the Sox more than anything.
Of course,
could be wrong. I don't know that for sure. Yeah, exactly.
So until they make that move, I mean, nobody wins with 20 young players on your team.
Right.
It just doesn't work. It would take four years for them to mature. You need stud veterans. When Lester was signed, it changed everything. Maybe Machado would do that if he was signed. I'm not even sure he's the guy because we know he has his own, you know, problems. So although I need to know who's that veteran that's going to lead them out of the wilderness. I believe in Harper more than Machado just because I think the guy will run through a wall, and we know Machado won't even run to first base. But I don't think they're getting either one of them. So I'm going to have my doubts on the rebuild until Rick Hahn adds something of substance. And he's trying. I give him credit. He's trying. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and for whatever it's worth, I'll add this. It's when you're going through a rehab like the Cubs did and now the White Sox are, you have to be ultra careful about not bringing in a bad contract like the Cubs did, for instance, with those with Hayward and somebody else mentioned Darvish in the chat room. You know, that can really retard winning multiple championships or even getting into the playoffs, which is what the Sox next step is. When you bring in those bad contracts, it can really screw up a team's rebuilding efforts.
You know, I got to tell you something. This is sad. The Cubs won the World Series with Hayward and these guys. I know the money is ridiculous, Aldo, but the Sox fans are begging. We got the tin cup out. There's no doubt about it right now. We got a tin cup out, right, Mike, Jez?
When the Sox, I mean, I think one thing, Mike, you would agree with is if the Sox are ready to spend, it sounds like they're ready to spend now. But what, you know, when he's in Ricketts' territory, when he needs to spend $200 million, I'm talking about Reinsdorf, I think he'll do it. I think he'll do it. This is his final shot, you know? I mean, he's getting up there. This is it. This run with this rebuild, I do think he'll spend wherever it's needed. He's showing at least some signs because they've made offers to Machado and Harper. But I don't think money's going to hold the Sox back. I could be wrong.
I'll tell you, if they wanted Machado, they could have had him a month ago. But the bottom line
you're right,
is,
you're right.
And you know what? He's 83 years old. How old's Jerry now? 84? Jerry thinks he's going to live forever, but you're right. If I had his money, I'd spend it. Jesse, we appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Enjoyed it. I love going back and forth, Pappy. Great show. Have a great evening, podcast, everything. And I'll talk to you soon, pal.
Have fun out there in Arizona. Thanks, guys.
Buddy. Take care. See ya.
All right. Jesse Rogers.
What a great guy.
EM1000. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. He was good, huh, Aldo?
He was awesome. He was awesome. We've got
he was honest.
He definitely was, and he knows his baseball up and down. Now, let me ask you this. When did you first start working with Jesse? What year was it? Because did he start off as your producer when he was over at the Score?
No. We had a lady named Abby Polonsky who started us, who was brought over from WGN. She wasn't really a sports producer, but she was there to – we had a sports producer below her, and it wasn't Jesse. He came to next year.
Okay.
But she was the one that was teaching us the ins and outs because I didn't really know about clocks and all this stuff, wheels and all the stuff that you learn in school.
Right.
I mean, but I learned it like in one day.
Right.
She showed me and I did it. And that was it. But Jesse was with me. Jesse and I traveled everywhere together, Baltimore, Seattle, New York, Las Vegas. We went all over. And he was just, he's a great friend, a loyal friend. I mean, our secrets go to the grave. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they were bad, but we had some great, great times, some great fun. And what he's done since then is a phenomenal thing, too, to be a mainstay. I remember when they gave him a couple Blackhawk games a week for ESPN. And
yes.
Then the next thing you know, he did such a good job there that he ended up doing the Cubs. But you know what? He always worked hard. That's why the crew was Jiggets and North was huge because, all the shows there because of the producers, Judd Surratt, Jesse Rogers, guys like that brought it every day. That would get in fights in the hall, accuse each other of stealing guests and stuff like that. Because when we were starting, there was no protocol, you know. But you know, sooner or later, what happened was certain players, certain other people, journalists, like going on some shows over the other. So they'd get favorite shows, and we'd have regulars, and they'd have regulars.
Well, some of the players were afraid to go on your show because you'd call them out on stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but Ditka wasn't on McNeil and Boers for the same reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of, like, players that would rather come on with me. I know that there was Eric Kramer wasn't happy with Danny McNeil, but there was a million guys, you're right, that weren't happy with me. And a couple that didn't even like Jiggs. They thought, because like Zord said, we told the truth. And it was the first time he said they heard the truth. And that was, what, 1992?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty pathetic when you've been seeing that the teams have been covered since when? The 20s?
Yeah,
I mean, come on. You know. But Jesse was a big part of my success, and I think Dan would agree of the Monsters' success, and he's still, I mean, whenever I need him, he's there. I called him this morning, goes, I'm in.
That's he's a great guy, and
yep.
I'm really
yep.
happy he made his first appearance. And well, I'm sure you'll have him back on during the
oh, yeah, because the Cubs have turned into a PR disaster in somewhat of a way.
Right.
They used to be the Cubs League. I don't know if it comes with winning. I don't know if it comes with intangibles like that. When they were losing, they were called the lovable losers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they really didn't have – they had the players under contracts. It was a different time.
Mm-hmm.
The players needed the jobs. It wasn't a lot of outspokenness. Ernie Banks and Gene Baker were the first African-American players on the Cubs. That didn't happen until the mid-50s.
That's right.
I think 52, 53, they had guys like Tony Taylor. But they weren't there in the 40s, you
mm-hmm.
know, late 40s.
Right.
And I know that the Red Sox were another team that didn't, until the late 50s, have black players.
Yeah. That's right. Now I am,
so it's all changed now.
It really has. Now, I am a bit surprised at how negative you feel about your White Sox. I mean, this is the team that you grew up cheering for.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I like steak, too, but if it's rancid, I'm going to get sick on it. I don't know what you want me to do. Have you watched them lately? I love the team. If I didn't love them, see, the worst thing that ever happened to Reinsdorf and the White Sox during when I was on the score is I love the White Sox.
Uh-huh.
You always hurt the one you love. But I'm honest about the White Sox, and I cannot believe that people think this team is a contending team or is going to be anywhere next year. The Cubs had, I mean, Bryant was a stud. Everybody knew he was going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turned out that way. They made a great trade with Rizzo. They went out and got pitching. The Sox aren't doing any of that. They're depending on 22-year-old kids that really don't know how to play the game yet. And
yeah.
It's like Jesse said, you can't win with 20 youngsters. I'm not saying the Sox aren't going to win down the line. Nothing would get it. Hey, I had a gas in 93 when they went. I went to the World Series in 2005, all the games on the road and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love the White Sox. I was in – Scott Podsednik was my favorite player, but we got to be real.
Yep.
We're starting to act like Cup fans used to act back in the 70s. Oh, we're going to win it all. And then they'd lose 100 games.
Well, I can't argue with anything you said there, although I do think that some of these players offer some more promise, and hopefully, like Hart 4803 says, he thinks that in a couple of years the Sox will be contending again. But
I think in a couple of years they won't. Now what's he going to do? Now we're at a standstill. I mean, anybody could argue that in a couple of years they're going to be good. Give me evidence. I need evidence.
No, that's how you are.
I love her.
He's great. He's here for every Mike North show. He is in the chat room.
Every week. Harp right there for
right
us. Friday.
There.
Harp.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about this whole Robbie Gould situation.
Happy.
He over the weekend, he popped in on the Score Sports Radio, and he talked a little bit about his potential free agency. He was asked about, would he be interested in the Chicago Bears? And this was his response. Again, this is courtesy of the Score Sports Radio.
Really out of my control at this point. I think I have only the exclusive rights to talk to the San Francisco 49ers right now. And they're the only team that can really get a deal done with me before free agency. You know, we're all ears if we get to that March 11th time, and we'll take it in stride, and we definitely consider all opportunities.
Robbie, who lives in Chicago and is building a new home, stated three things that are most important to him if he hits free agency, and he started with his family.
My kids are older. They're 5, 3, and 14 weeks old, so I have some kids that are in school. Obviously, a long-term contract is something that I would like to have. And then I think it comes down to I want to win, right? And I want to find the best place for me to give myself the opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Now, Mike, there's stories out that the San Francisco 49ers will likely franchise tag Robbie Gould if they can't reach an agreement. And I have to believe that these stories were planted because of this interview, because Robbie Gould said, I want to play for a winner. I live here in Chicago and so forth. And now all of a sudden the 49ers are saying, you want our kicker, you better come up with a trade because we'll franchise tag him. What do you think about that?
I think you're right, Aldo, and I want to say I respect Robbie Gould a lot. I never thought he should have left. I thought that what I was hearing, that the $3 million a year price tag was too high. I will tell everybody this once and for all. You need a kicker to win it all in the NFL, and if you don't think so, you saw what happened to the Bears this year. It's very simple. That being said, I don't think San Francisco, I think they were going to franchise him. I don't think the interview turned it because they already know it.
Okay.
They already know that Robbie's a Chicago guy. I'm sure he's made his feelings felt that he wants to play for a winner. Mm-hmm. I think what they're telling him is, we'll franchise you, which makes you a top three kicker, and Garoppolo will be back. Let's not forget,
mm-hmm.
where would the Bears be if you lost Trubisky next year, heaven forbid, knock on wood, that it doesn't happen, in the third or fourth game? So I think they're going to come back again this year. Their defense, I liked them last year. They played hard all the way through. I know it's a tough division. The Rams, is everything going to break right for them this year? They are still the superior team. But I think to really franchise your kicker tells you where you're at as a franchise, and that's not a good place, to be honest with you.
You're absolutely right.
It really isn't. It really isn't, because Robbie is automatic points, though, and they need automatic points. They can only get sometimes. Now, Garoppolo will be back, but their average probably, they got stopped on the average on the 23-yard line, and you know what? They need a good kicker. They do. It still counts for 3 points, man.
Yep.
It counts for 3 points.
Absolutely.
And that could change a game.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, we would never see kickers franchise years ago, but I think it's likely to happen more and more often because the kicking game has become so putrid in the NFL. I mean, we're going through a stage right now where there just aren't a lot of good kickers, and doesn't look like there's many more coming through the pipeline of college football. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I'm just not seeing it.
I want the straight leg kicker back. I
yes.
want the Pat Summerall guy. The guy
yes.
that I want the defensive tackle. Back in the day, the football players, Lou Groza was a defensive lineman. Lou Michaels from the Colts,
yes.
a defensive lineman and a kicker. They both kicked. Roger LeClaire of the Bears, defensive lineman,
love
kicker.
It.
Pat Summerall, wide receiver, kicker. That's what I love. I want a straight-on kicker. But I always thought, you know what? I thought the Gogolats, when they first started kicking, I said, this is a fad.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to last, these soccer-style kickers.
I know, right?
The next thing you know, everybody had was a soccer-style kicker. So I think it's cyclical. I think pushing the extra point back, kickers are head cases as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So pushing the extra point thing back really screwed their heads up, because I didn't think they'd ever miss this many extra points.
Do you remember when Tom Dempsey, then with the New Orleans Saints, kicked that 63-yarder for the NFL record?
Absolutely.
And his foot was like, it looked like a club. He had, because he lost all his toes in some accident or something
right.
like that.
Right.
I think
it was a sledgehammer, the end of a sledgehammer. His boot looked like he had a half a foot.
Is that what it was, a sledgehammer? Oh, my goodness.
It was like, you know what? It was like it would look at the end of a sledgehammer. It was,
yes.
In other words,
yes.
he lost his toes. So it was a straight across, nice little, you know, boot to kick the ball with. That's why it went 63 yards. He kicked outdoors. Alex Karras said the Lions didn't even want to bring 11 out there. They thought it was a joke. They didn't even rush. If you watch the film.
Good memory.
Alex Karras is narrating. They don't even rush hard. They thought it was a joke, and then the guy made it.
Right. Now, I believe that more and more kickers should consider cutting their toes off, you know, the because we need some better
kickers. I felt bad for the guy because he only had one arm.
Oh,
but thank God
that's
it was
right.
his right arm.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
but you know what?
Gosh.
At least he had one arm. Can you imagine having no arms?
Oh, my goodness. All right.
That would be rough.
Did you see any of that?
You always got to have your right hand.
That's, oh my goodness.
For those forget long... about kicking field goals. I ain't going to be kicking field goals in my 50s. I need that right hand.
For those long, for those long lonely nights. Did you see any of that NBA All-Star game yesterday, Mike?
This is the first time I saved it. I didn't even put it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The first time since I was 10 years old, I didn't watch 1 minute of the All-Star game.
Really?
Not one. It's just a joke. And I knew it. I heard about it today. There was no big deals. You know, it's just become so redundant. The score was high. Ridiculous. Durant, I'm happy for him. You know, he got the MVP. Big deal. It's an exhibition game. I watched college basketball. I watched Loyola versus Missouri State. I had a real good betting day yesterday. By the way, on Fridays, we picked two. I picked two games. I went 1-1, so we're 5-1 going into this Friday's Mike North Advantage. Just to let people know to tune in for that. We start out in the morning on Friday morning. We have a great time, Aldo and I, with that show, too. But we're having fun. We've had some great guests with this show. We're going to continue to have some great guests. We'll have a special guest next week, too. But Jesse, I thought Jesse was pretty honest, and Jesse was not happy with Ricketts.
Yes.
I didn't get your take on the whole situation there. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, well, I missed the press conference, but I can tell you this. I think that they do have a public relations problem, and I think that the way that they're dealing with it is so transparently awkward, you know? It's like, I agree with Jesse. They should have just been honest and say, listen, these views are not shared by, but those are his views, and they are what they are, but we don't share those views, and then just turn the page. Instead,
right.
It looks like they're just going really out of their way, and it doesn't seem authentic, but I don't know.
By the way, saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, tell me about it, because
it's
on my
list.
Have
you seen it yet?
Not yet. It is on my list. I'm going to try to watch it before the Oscars.
I watched it the other night, and I was impressed. And I remember when Queen first started, and, I mean, nobody ever said, we don't like Queen. You bought a couple of their albums.
Mm-hmm.
They were different, but they were really, really good. And Freddie Mercury, the kid that plays Freddie Mercury, is outstanding. Good script. About 2 hours and 13 minutes long. It seems like a long movie, but it moves pretty good. You know, he had sexual habits that were, you know, that of a rock star, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he succumbed to a bad disease, but Live Aid was a big thing for him, and he had that disease, AIDS, during that Live Aid situation. When he played, it was like a comeback because he really got big-headed. He really did. He got egotistical and stuff like that, but it tells the whole story with the movie.
And I hear that the performance by that guy that plays Freddie Mercury is just outstanding.
Unreal.
Yeah.
He was Pakistani. Freddie Mercury had some Pakistani. I didn't even know that.
Well, I can see it in some of his facial features, but yeah, that's one that I definitely want to see.
You got to watch it, Aldo. I thoroughly recommend it. I'm not a big... You know, a lot of the movies lately have not been all that good.
I got to tell you this, Mike.
I don't know if I'm even going to watch the Oscars. I mean, I'm just tired out of All-Star Games, award shows.
Yes.
You ever get like that?
Oh, yes, yes. The award show, that's gotten way out of control. Everybody patting themselves on the back. It's become, you know, like a satire on Hollywood, a real life satire. It's bad.
It really is, man. It really is. So, I mean, you know, I'm just burnt out on all that. I just love sports. I love handicapping. I love doing the show. I love the bar room. It's fun. I mean, you know, it's like doing, you know, it's like being, I remember when Combat, this was an old TV series, and Batman, they were on twice a week. That's what we are.
Oh,
we're
yes.
on twice a week, Monday and Friday, my friend.
That's right. Now, hey, have you seen the Marvel movie that was nominated for Best Picture, The Black Panther?
No, but I met some when I was a kid. Very enthralling gentlemen. They walked into said high school. We were having racial issues in 67, 68, which was really weird because I was on teams and I was buddies with a lot of the black kids. But it was weird when you had those things. Everybody would be split up.
Uh-huh.
And the Black Panthers came to the school. And we had a principal named Thomas Goffey. I kid you not, he looked like
I swear, J. Edgar Hoover. It really wasn't a good matchup. It really wasn't. These three guys came in right down the middle of the school with fatigues on and the black beret. So I didn't see the movie, though, which I understand did outstanding, which I probably will end up watching it. I haven't seen it yet, though. But you know what? I have no opinion of that because I haven't seen it yet. I'm really out of the Marvel stuff, though. I was a DC guy.
Yeah.
I was Superman, Batman, to be honest with you. Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I wasn't a Stan Lee guy. They came later.
Okay.
They came later. I also read Western comic books, The Rawhide Kid, and which was a weird name now. You would never see that. And I think he was even a little bit that, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. But The Rawhide, Western, I love Western comics. Great, great stuff. We'll have to get Shaky Suntress on one time. He's the comic book geek, and he's the king of the nerds that appears at all San Diego Comic Cons and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a big, big movie fan. And he's
absolutely.
He's been a little under the weather. I saw that on Twitter. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing better. He had a little a reaction with diabetes, but he's doing good.
Good.
But he's a bachelor. You know, he's a bachelor. When you're a bachelor, you know.
Yeah, you don't eat
well. Thank God for B. Otherwise, there'd be nothing left in the bologna aisle of the Oscar Mayer thing at the grocery store. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
God bless our wives. God bless every.
Oh
God bless our wives.
Oh my gosh! Without them, we'd be in big trouble. Hey, I gotta tell you.
By the way, I got a game for everybody tonight. Maybe take a look at it, and I'll count it on my record. I fear nothing.
Okay, good.
Because I'm good at what I do. Take West Virginia. It's an 8 o'clock game, folks, if you're listening now. Mm-hmm. They're playing Kansas State at West Virginia. Bob Huggins used to coach Kansas State. Bruce Weber getting 7 at home, but they're bad this year. They're 10-15. Kansas State is 19-6, going for number 20. So you're taking a chance. If you don't want to take my game or my team, go the opposite way. Fade me if you must, but I thought I'd throw that door to the bar room. Folks.
I love it. Everybody in the chat room loves it, too, and it is time to say goodbye.
Boy, that went fast. We want to thank Jesse Rogers. We want to thank Eldo. As always, does a tremendous job. Really does. I want to thank all the bar room people. Tremendous. We'll be back on Friday. Eldo, you take care. To everybody out there, go get that game tonight, West Virginia. I'm feeling good. So long, everybody.